Welcome, folks, to another edition of What's On Your Mind. This hour brought to you by our friends at the North Dakota Petroleum Council. You know, despite all of the uncertainty in the world today, North Dakota's oil and natural gas industry wants you to know we'll be back better than ever, committed to using talent and resources here wisely to build a strong, sustainable future for our families, friends, and neighbors. And together, keeping North Dakota a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Find out more at ndoilfoundation.org. Michelle Fischbach, the victorious candidate on the Republican side for the Minnesota 7th District Congressional spot, will join us in just a moment. Jason Lewis, later this hour, we're going to talk to Doug Goring about the energy town hall we're doing tomorrow, the Ag Commissioner, member of the Industrial Commission, and much more straight ahead on the program. So Kyle in Grand Forks was calling for Kelly Armstrong, and we didn't get a chance to finish with Kelly, but he said he really had more of a comment. It was about vaccines. So go ahead, Kyle, and finish your comment for us.
Okay, so I was saying that there's 1.5 million Americans that live in nursing homes. It's an extremely high population. They account for about 45 to 50% of all national COVID deaths. If you look at history, the major killers have always been respiratory diseases, whether it be tuberculosis, which at one time was killing off almost 25% of accounted for 25% of the population deaths in the United States in the 1920s, or the influenza pandemic that happened right after World War One that killed not 650 million people. I mean, as far as we're at a point where, you know, the quarantine measures that we're doing, wearing masks, social distancing, staying away from people, are the same measures that have been effective for almost 600 years. But we're at a point in history and time where we have the medical advancements to actually do something about that, to actually prevent things like vaccines. There's a vaccine for tuberculosis. There's a vaccine for influenza. The idea that people are really opposed to vaccines for COVID is just doesn't really make sense. I mean, as far as I always ask people, would you ever want CPR done? The effectiveness of CPR is only between 13 to 28%. So more than likely, if you get CPR done and you have to go to the hospital, you're not going to live through it. The other thing is, it's like, it's just a really small investment for public health. So that's my point. Thanks.
All right, Kyle. I think vaccines have proven their value to some people over the years. I just don't think it should be a case of you will have this in the United States of America. You will have this. You have no choice to mandate it, to make it a law that you take it. So, I mean, it's like anything. It's like this help me, Kevin. I'm going to say it wrong again.
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah. Hydroxychloroquine. It is the same thing. If I want to take it, drug's been around for 60 years, I'm going to take it as long as my doctor says it's okay. We'll prescribe it. I know it's kind of crazy. Anyway, Michelle Fischbach is here. Michelle is the newly victorious, and I forget the terms I've heard used, but it was a decisive win. I think that's the one we're going to go with. A decisive win for Michelle Fischbach last night against her four opponents in the primary race. Michelle, congratulations to you.
Well, thank you so much. We're very excited about it. And moving on, we've got, 83 more days to the general, and getting ready to work real hard and make sure we come out with a decisive win on that one, too.
You just heard the call about vaccines and, this time in which we live, dealing with crushing the coronavirus, the China virus, whatever you want to call it, has certainly been challenging. Is it limiting the places that you can go and things you can do? Are you doing anything differently in the campaigning category because of it?
Absolutely. It changed a lot of things, unfortunately. And, I think the shutdown was a real problem for rural Minnesota. But I will say, we were able to make a lot of phone calls, and people were more than happy to talk on the phone during the most severe time of the shutdown. But, we're back out on the road now, and sure, crowds might be a little smaller, but when there is an event, we make our own and have people come out. And so we're getting out and about, and I think things are, I won't say they're returning to normal, but we're certainly out of that, that complete shutdown we had earlier this year. And so just very excited to be out talking to folks now.
When you do get a chance to talk to folks, as far as it pertains to the coronavirus and the pandemic, what is the biggest frustrations? What are things you think you would be have top on your list to tackle based on what you're hearing from them?
Well, you know, I'll just what we are hearing from people about, and this is something that happened in the state, you know, in Minnesota, you know, with the shutdowns, and that Governor Walz decided that one size fits all for the state of Minnesota, and it doesn't. You know, the metro and the suburban areas are much different than rural Minnesota, and you know, when you leave Target open, of course, you know, they've got them on every corner in the cities, but you know, up here we were shutting down our Main Street businesses, and they were really hurting, and I think that one size fits all that Walz put into place was very bad for rural Minnesota. And so we are hearing about that, and we're hearing about that they want the strong economic recovery. You know, they support the president, and they know he's doing, you know, good things for the economy before, and they want to see that the best economic recovery we can get afterwards. And those are some of the things we're hearing. And like I said, people are very disappointed on how Governor Walz handled it in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, no, that's enormous frustration, I think, from...
You know, and especially on those borders area, like, you know, that you have where North and South Dakota were handling it much better, and it, you know, became increasingly frustrating for those folks on those borders areas.
Yeah, no, exactly right. I want to talk a little bit about, the presidential race right now. I saw a new poll that suggested that there was a pretty tight margin now between President Trump and Joe Biden in Minnesota, which I think is good news for the president. What is your take on the Kamala Harris pick? I mean, I would imagine as a at least from the gender perspective, you got to say, all right, well, female, rep, that's great, that's wonderful, she's there, and not the first time, obviously, been done before, but nonetheless. It is certainly, a part of the equation, part of the story. On the other hand, California liberal, very different than where we're at. So what's your take on the presidential race and the place it's at and how it impacts your race?
You know, Senator Harris is one of the most radical liberal vice presidents or vice president candidates that we've had in history, I think. And, you know, she's a co-sponsor of the Sanders health care plan to socialize all medicine and eliminate private insurance. You know, she also is a big supporter and may even be a co-sponsor of that Green New Deal that would devastate, you know, our farmers. Sadly, she is very pro-abortion and supports full-term abortion. I think it helps the Republicans because this is the kind of stuff that people are fighting against now. This is the kind of radical left-wing garbage that we're seeing come out of the Democratic Party. And I'll tell you how it affects my race is that this is the ticket that Colin Peterson endorsed. This is the kind of stuff that he's supporting, and he is supporting Biden and Harris. And I don't think that's where Western Minnesotans are. That's not where the people of the 7th District want to be. They don't want that Green New Deal. They don't want to see, you know, full-term abortion. It will play in our district. It will play in our race.
Also, want to ask you a little bit about how this race for you now changes focus, because obviously you've been sparring with the primary candidates, for a better part of the last year and a half, I guess. And now, obviously, you have the endorsement of the party. You have the primary win, so it's on to Colin Peterson. So, tell us what you think will be the primary message as far as contrasting what you would bring to this race and for Minnesotans in 7 versus Colin Peterson.
You know, I will just start out by saying our goal from the day we got into this race was to beat Colin Peterson. And that is what has been our focus the entire time. And we are working very hard to make sure we unite those Republicans behind the message. And our message is resonating. I mean, we did very well in that, in the election last night, and our message is resonating. And, you know, I think what the difference is going to be is that we are going to be looking at having a functioning Congress that works with President Trump. And that's why it's so important, you know, we need to flip that, the U.S. House, so that there is a Congress that's focused on economic recovery, that's focused on getting people back to work, getting people going, and moving the country forward. You know, as a matter of fact, Max Ross, he's a congressman, a freshman congressman out of New York, He admitted in an article, I believe it was this morning, you know, he said, we've already failed. You know, and this is a Democrat. He said, we've gone too far. We went too far with that left political agenda wish list that we put out as COVID relief. And so they're even recognizing that they're failing. And I think that's going to be the difference between is do you want Colin Peterson, who's going to vote for Nancy Pelosi and put them back in control and that kind of far left-wing agenda, or do you want to make sure that you've got a congressperson who is going to work with President Trump to move this country forward?
Good luck, Michelle Fishbach. We'll talk again soon on the campaign trail, now to Election Day. Appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me on, and everybody have a great day today.
Michelle Fishbach, the Republican candidate against Colin Peterson in that race. How about that? Jason Lewis, when we come back, he'll take your calls. Let me tell you about a Finlio is how you say it, Finnish sauna. And its warmth can go to work on you with one phone call or one stop at a hot spring spa and pool tables, two location near you. Traditional saunas allow you to just feel the muscles relax and the aches and tension fade away. Calories burn, your skin feels renewed, you breathe clearly and deeply, and your body and soul are refreshed and ready to take on the world. Finlio has excelled at bringing you Europe's latest design, renowned quality, unlimited options, and all kinds of residential sauna accessories. In fact, if you go to Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too, just click the sauna tab. You'll see all kinds of ideas, inside, outside, all kinds of different designs and shapes and sizes. And I'm telling you, this is the way to go. Do a little research on what they say about the wellness product that is a sauna and what it could do for you. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables too, or call them right now if you can't wait. 844-200-7727. I got chewed out by a listener earlier. The show that said, could you announce when you're going to announce the number for the show? I said, now hang on a second here. You want me to announce when I'm going to announce the number for the show? Why do you think he wanted me to do that, Todd? Do you have any idea?
Hey, I'm not much of an interpreter here.
I think it's because I say it too fast, and we've heard that a few times. So.
I know, but...
So,
Scott will be giving the number in 10, 9,
9
8,
8, 7,
keep going,
6,
I'll say it. Yeah.
5,
4, 3,
4,
2, 1.
3, 2, 1. Don't go too fast, Kevin. That's the whole problem here.
We're going to sync you two up here now. Okay, here we go. 800-228-0550. 800-228-0550. There you go. I said it, I did it.
What was that again?
Put in your speed dial, 800-228-0550. You can also text me, 701-367-2054, or Todd, 701-226-8503. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the next senator from the great state of Minnesota, Jason Lewis. I see it in the polls. I feel it in my bones. Momentum is on. This is Minnesota momentum for Jason Lewis. Are you feeling that? Are you feeling that Lady Mo there, Mr. Lewis?
Well, great to be back, Scott. Thanks so much. Yeah, we do. We feel it big time, and I think we feel it for the president. Certainly feel it for our race with a resounding victory last night in the primary, of course, and a great new poll out showing the race a statistical dead heat. I got a wonderful call last night from Vice President Pence, and I can assure you that the Trump reelect is committed to Minnesota, which obviously will only help us. So it's time for a change. Look, when you've got Kamala Harris, who instead of investigating abortion clinics who are apparently harvesting body parts, would investigate the journalist who uncovered the story. And you've got Tina Smith, former executive director of Planned Parenthood, my opponent, who said that, well, infanticide, post-birth abortion, ought to be decided by somebody else, not the living infant, right? Not a right to life. Those two in the same party, on the same ticket, essentially, that's extremism. And the folks in the Red River Valley and all across Minnesota are not going to go for that.
Kamala Harris was the pick of Donald Trump, as you heard yesterday. I'm sure Mike Pence, when you talked to him, probably was shaking in his boots a little bit. You heard it over the phone. He was really, really worried about that. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think they're doubling down. I think that it's now official. The Democrat Party has been captured by the squad. Instead of, I mean, so much for Joe Biden being a moderate. He just nominated the woman that literally accused him of racism and supporting segregation because he opposed forced busing. Said, I believe Joe Biden's accusers wants massive tax, a ban on energy exploration in the Dakotas and the end of energy independence in America, is pro-abortion to the extreme, doesn't want mining in the Iron Range, and wants to defund the police. But other than that, things look good for the Democrats.
the last night's primary results tell you anything?
Well, I think, again, I think folks are ready. We were up in the 8th district. We're working hard in the 8th because we want to be the first Republican to win that traditionally Democrat congressional seat, I think, since Rod Grams did it. But those people are coming over because they want energy, logging, mining, and they want to get that pipeline done in Clearbrook and Beltrami County, Enbridge Line 3. But we also zoomed in, and, of course, the 7th, which is going to be crucial, Colin Peterson's district, which I think will be taken by Michelle Fischbach. So I actually think we're teed up. I mean, I've told you, and I have talked about this before, Scott. In 16, it was Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. How could this be? Well, what's the next state in line? It's us. And we're just like Wisconsin in so many ways, except Wisconsin, of course, has signed off on the Enbridge pipeline. But look, we're going to get this done, and I'm very optimistic.
I would also say the vice president calling the president's support for you on primary day and also obviously throughout most of this and saying, look, we got Jason Lewis as a guy, let's go and let's win this speaks volumes as well. I know they're watching other races around the country, Colorado, Arizona, and others as well. With this poll, I would have to imagine you're going to go to the top of that potential pickup category, right?
Well, as you know, we've got some very, very tough races in Arizona and Colorado and Maine and Montana. And so there could be, and I hope it's not the case, but it could be we lose one or two races, which means we've got to flip a state more than Alabama. Minnesota's the next one in line to flip. And that's a huge, huge advantage if we want to keep the Senate. And as I've said a thousand times, the Senate is the last firewall of freedom on judges, on life, on the Second Amendment, on making certain that the federal government doesn't overregulate and usurp their constitutional powers to do so. I remember there was a great story years ago, a Pierce family farm. They were peat moss farmers. They literally could not get on their own land because the Army Corps of Engineers said the seasonal puddle in their field was an interstate navigable waterway regulated under federal law. Well, the federal government cannot regulate a seasonal pond in somebody's field. And yet, that's exactly what the waters of the U.S. rule did. We were under the 2015 interpretation. I voted, in fact, I co-sponsored legislation to repeal that rule, and I'll continue to do that to allow this economy to grow. And those are just some of the things at stake here.
Evan, let's get you in quick.
In the U.S. Senate.
Let's get you in quick for Jason Lewis, Evan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if the total deaths in the first 7 months of this year, how it compared in the total deaths in previous years. Is it up? Is it down? Is it about the same? Because they never give that number when they talk about COVID.
And you're talking...
Well, we do know this, Evan, that when it comes to getting these schools open, which absolutely should happen, again, my opponent, Tina Smith, is all in on keeping the country locked down and in misery, including our kids, in social isolation, which I vehemently oppose on so many levels. It's doing great harm to our children. But the likelihood of someone at school age is much, much greater of getting the flu and dying from it than of the coronavirus. We know that. You can, quote-unquote, follow the science on that. And yet, it's a little bit like college football. I don't know, and maybe you know, I don't know of one college football player that's been hospitalized and has died from COVID. Not one. And yet the Pac-12 and the Big Ten have been politicized.
All about control.
And I think that's all.
Jason Lewis, go get him. Thanks for the time, sir. On a boat, on a beach, in the water, in the sand, in the back of a bar car.
cold beer in your hand. Breaking laws, breaking dance when we're rolling down the street. Heads turning all day when they see you with me.
Back on What's On Your Mind, it is 28 before the top of the hour. Daryl Leese has got the racing pigs of the State Fair this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Daryl joined us yesterday, gave us a little bit of a preview, and the buzz is on. Everybody's fired up about this. What are you most excited about, getting the racing pigs back to the State Fair or the food trucks, would you say, Daryl?
The sand. You know, I think it's just great that we're going to have this event, and I'm excited for all of it. We've got great food trucks coming, very traditional type fair food coming. We've got the racing pigs. We've got other music. We've got a pet competition. We've got a kiddie parade on Saturday. We have dueling pianos Saturday evening, a worship service and gospel music on Sunday. And I've had questions, Scott, if there's going to be camping available. And, yes, there is camping available. They just have to call the State Fair office.
Even camping available. That's the new one from yesterday as well. So the idea behind this is simply to have some fun in the middle of a challenging summer, right?
Absolutely. Get out, have some fun, a little normalcy, celebrate some freedom. You know, like I said yesterday, we're going to give away some door prizes at the Dueling Pianos event on Saturday evening. Once you pay to get into the event, you're eligible for the door prizes. It's not an extra raffle. And we're giving two guns away as door prizes that night. So we're celebrating freedom and our great American rights.
All right. Anything else you want anybody to know about the event? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all 3 days at the State Fairgrounds, right?
Yep. They can go to Fair Food and Fun Extravaganza Facebook page, and we're highlighting the different vendors that will be there. The schedule will be on there and information, and then they'll be able to contact me through there also.
All right. Sounds good. Have a blast.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
And Todd, the radio god Mitchell, is going to be up there broadcasting live tomorrow, is that, or is that Friday? Friday. First day of the big event, huh?
Friday, yeah. Looking forward to that. That's going to be great.
Lucky man. Yeah, that'll be fun. Hey, bring me some cheese curds, would you?
I'm just glad I'm going to get a Tubby Burger in because I'd hate for the streak to be interrupted.
There you go. Tubby Burger's going to be
at least one of those a year, you know.
Good stuff. Questions or comments, welcome for our next guest, Commissioner of Agriculture in North Dakota, Doug Goring. Doug, nice to have you back. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Todd.
Glad to have you back on the program to talk a little bit about something. You know, I had this idea for a citizen-led energy event. We're basically, you know, sort of like the Tea Parties when people were concerned about Obamacare or the many issues that came up at those events. And obviously we've seen a fair amount of political activism of late, most of it from the left. Just a time to say, you know what, let's stand up for North Dakota energy. And when I called to visit with you about the idea, you couldn't have said yes quick enough. So I do appreciate that very much. Tell me your vision of all of the above. What do you think North Dakota needs to rally behind in the way of an energy strategy?
Well, I'd probably even take it a bit broader than that. I would talk about all of the resources that exist in North Dakota and how do we benefit, how do we develop value from that, how do our landowners, how does agriculture, how do our communities all fit into that equation? I mean, when you really look at it, I think when it first comes to mind, people think about coal and they think about oil and gas. They think about agriculture and all the products, the 54 different commodities that we produce is, you know, another resource here in North Dakota. We also have potash deposits in this state. We've even found some opportunities with industrial diamonds. We've studied that on the Industrial Commission, and someone wants to come along and start mining for those in future years, that'd be great also. But when you think about all of that, it really is about how do we have a balanced approach? What is our main objective? And keeping in mind that our communities and the state have so much to offer, but they also have so much that they require, things that we need, such as infrastructure. And so that balanced approach is really about how to utilize the resources responsibly. So when I talk about balance, it's how do you utilize all that and work together? How do you coexist? And I think that's probably the biggest challenge that we as a people and society and globally have always at a challenge. How do we coexist, even when we may have some opposing opinions, dissenting views, and quite frankly, maybe our professions might clash at times, but we really do need to work together. And when we develop these resources responsibly and we develop that relationship, we can get a lot of things done. Think about energy and ag and how they work together in so many respects, or the fact that, you know, 90% of North Dakota's land is owned, operated, and managed by farmers and ranchers. So first and foremost, out of all this, I don't care what you're talking about, agriculture is deeply impacted and affected no matter what type of activity is taking place out in the landscape. So how do we actually take that balanced approach and start thinking about each and every community and how it works? Because I think that's the other key. There's not a one-size-fits-all to this. As you have different resources, different landscapes, different commodities, different activities out there, you have to make sure that you're really doing a good job of addressing the need.
You know, we talked to Brent Sanford yesterday, the Lieutenant Governor, and he talked about a simple analogy, but it works well to say we just need a larger pie. And then everybody able to take their share, but it doesn't get smaller, it gets bigger. And I hear you talking the same way. Look at all the resources we have. Let's find value in each of those. And if you can do that shoulder to shoulder, you're never going to agree about everything, but I'm saying at least be for all of the above energy in North Dakota as one collective group. That's a lot better way to compete as a small state and find ways to export our energy and do things with this other value-added resources that you come up with. Is it possible, Doug? Do you think that's and that's why we're doing this tomorrow night, 6 to 8, Bismarck Event Center, Energy Town Hall, to have that discussion with people, because I think if people, voters, everyday, people that are employed in these industries that survive off of these industries, have a business that serves these industries, whatever, if they speak with one voice, it'll help elected leaders do the same, won't it?
Well, I would think so. You'd like to think that all this is going to work and we're going to hold hands, sing kumbaya, and we know that's not necessarily true, but we do have to think about the bigger picture. We have to think about how we're integrated, how we are connected at the hip. You know, I talk about agriculture, and whether you want to talk about coal or you want to talk about oil and gas, there are ways in which you work together, you benefit, and you find that you can support each other's efforts. Case in point, when you start talking about the infrastructure that's needed, several years ago for, let's just say, those rural communities in western North Dakota, it's where they were producing oil and gas. As frustrating and irritated as it could be at times just trying to get on the road or drive around and deal with a lot of dust, and I'm not going to even claim to understand some people's thoughts and feelings about this. Some people really had to tolerate quite a bit. But ultimately, we built better and bigger and nicer roads for western North Dakota. And roads got built into places that some of our ranchers had to trail cattle for 23 miles. And then all of a sudden, you have oil companies that are building the road, building it to grade, graveling it, maintaining it, keeping it up. Now, grant you, the county will say, yeah, but they're going to hand that over to us one day and we're going to have a big bill. Now, that may be true, but instead of having to trail cattle 23 miles, some of these guys can now take a truck up into some of their pastures and deliver cattle, and life just got easier and better for them. Better highways got built. Our ombudsman program was developed by the legislature to address some of the conflicts out there. So did our mediation program. And what you find is that there's just sometimes not a good understanding of, first of all, where's the fatigue, what's the irritant, but quite frankly, how can we build off from that? What can we do to have a better understanding of what each of us are trying to accomplish and try to blend and work that together? You look at the ethanol plant up here by Falkirk and out by Dutchman County there at Spiritwood. They're both connected to a coal-fired electric generation facility. Now, that right there shows you they're connected at the hip. Now, there's some challenges going forward if we're going to minimize our use of coal or what's going to happen in that respect. But we've also shown that because of this carbon capture program that's being initiated by Great River Energy or Dakota Spirit Ag up in that Falkirk station, there's an opportunity to at least run one unit, because we know we got to have that much power being generated just to sequester the carbon and put it into a formation. So we still have some benefit, we still have some value, but too often sometimes we're not sitting down, we're not talking together, and then we're not experiencing and understanding the struggles, the challenges, the benefits, and the value that the community, the area, and the multiple industries are actually experiencing.
And that's what we'll do Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m., Bismarck Event Center. And again, free and open to the public. Come just to, ready to participate in a robust conversation. We'll have the experts there. Want to hear from the people. Want to get as many answers as we can, try and get some consensus. Texter says, for Commissioner Gehring, a huge public thank you for intervening in the Morton County FSA issue. While our congressional delegation talked tough, you took action and caught FSA bureaucrats in their web of deceit. While the problem isn't fully fixed, it's a heck of a lot better. Thanks again. No question there, but a comment on an issue that has been a popular one on talk radio for sure. So glad to hear some progress is being made there for sure. Let me get Chris in here with a meatpacking question. Go ahead, Chris, for Doug Goring.
So I've mentioned several times on AM 1100 about how we need a state meatpacking plant. We have a state bank to help break up the bank trust. We have a state mill to help break up the grain issues that were going on in the past.
We've talked about it before. I'm going to cut you short only because we only have a few seconds left. What about a state meatpacking plant? Doug, you've mentioned this topic before, and obviously we need some solutions, but is a state-owned plant or state-backed plant an answer?
Well, I think there's some things to explore there. I know that when they built the Aberdeen plant, which was going to benefit a huge area, and North Dakota Livestock, it does, and it did start down that path, and I believe it does generate some value. I think there's some other things we could do. I don't believe we should take that off the table and explore it, but it really is a legislative question more than it is, you know, for one of us constitutional offices.
Interesting. All right. And, of course, we have tried the different plants before. It hasn't been real successful, but we need a solution. There's certainly no question there, Chris. Keep on it. Doug, thank you for your time. We'll see you on Thursday night. We appreciate you.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick, GMC.com. Clearance time. The inventory must get the herd must get thinned at Schwann Buick GMC. Taking in all kinds of clean late model cars, trucks, SUVs, over 100, and now they have to go. Buy today, get the lowest finance rate in years. Customers have come from all over to buy a pre-owned vehicle from Schwann because they know Schwann has the best lifetime powertrain warranty in the business. Shop your used car superstore, Schwann Buick GMC, where your warranty lasts a lifetime. Online at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
All righty, folks. We're looking forward to Big Iron. Yeah, that, you know what that big, you know what Big Iron says to me? Big Iron is on, and Big Iron is happening. And what that screams to me is that, you know, life is getting back to normal.
Amen.
Maybe not as quick as we want, but little by little, life is getting back to normal. So as I sit here today, 34 days, we'll be at Big Iron, and we're looking forward to it. September 15th through the 17th at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. High Plains Apache will be there. They don't want you to miss them this year. Tyler Westlake, the sales manager at High Plains Apache, is on now with us. Tyler, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. And excited for Big Iron. It feels like normal, doesn't it? We got to be there just to have that annual event where you got some savvy farmers, ranchers coming in from all over. It feels like it's just getting a little bit back to normal. You guys feeling that too?
Absolutely. We're ready to see everybody out there, and it will feel like normal. There's been a lot of shows canceled here in the last 6 months or so, and we're ready to get back and do shows and see a bunch of people all in one place.
You know, there's places that you can buy a sprayer where you can buy a whole lot of other things. And one thing I've always appreciated about High Plains Apache is that you guys, you're dedicated to spray application, and that's your thing. I mean, the one focus, sprayers, right?
Yes, it is. That's all we do. It's hard for some people to wrap their head around, but there's a lot of them out there, and it's, we just saw a need for just a spray company out here, and you know, we don't have to go work on a tractor or a combine or a drill or a planter or any of that stuff. We just work on sprayers, and with that, we can fill parts at about a 95% rate right out of the stores, and we got dedicated service techs that know everything there is to know about sprayers.
I've noticed also each year there's new innovations. There's, you know, things that are just exciting to roll out of the way of features that are on the new machines for 2021. What do you got in store for the upcoming year?
Well, lots of technology stuff like every year. You know, everything seems to get more and more electronic anymore. And we're running a lot of Raven products. Raven's got some new auto boom systems out there. They're actually doing a vision steering now too. So the auto steer will watch the row and go down for you. And then of course the Hawkeye, which most people know as AIM Command or AIM Command Flex, but that's actually a product from Raven called Hawkeye. Now that's your pulsating nozzle technology with turn compensation.
There you go, folks. Now we're talking. And they often call the High Plains Apache sprayers. You buy one of those, you have one for a while, and you say, wow, I love this thing because my cost of operating is in great shape, light footprint, the return on investment very good. So they call it the businessman sprayer, right, Tyler?
Yeah, they do. That's been the claim for a long time, or been kind of the mantra they live by, is the businessman sprayer. We're significantly less expensive to purchase, but not sacrificing any quality to get there.
Well, we'll see out there. We look forward to it. September 15th through the 17th. Mark it on your calendars, folks. Make it happen. We'll just will the weather to be perfect so you can take off for a while and see us at the wonderful Big Iron event for 2020, September 15th through 17th, West Fargo at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. To find out more about High Plains Apache and their locations in Mandan and Fargo, actually Frontier there, exit 60 south of Fargo, online at highplainsapache.com. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You better look forward to seeing you there. Tim and Bismarck got a question about Canada. What's on your mind, Tim?
Hi. I'm a little late calling. I was trying to talk to Representative Armstrong about the possibility of opening the border to Canada, but they're very severe on their they're still in lockdown up there. And I'm just wondering what maybe contributing to this is maybe the tariffs. That's what I'm hearing from my family up north. I'm a natural USA citizen from Canada, so I'd like to see my 93-year-old father I haven't seen in over a year.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of those stories, and it's sad. So you're saying the buzz, at least, is that it's a retaliation measure for some of the tariffs?
I think that's a contributing factor. I really do. That's what I'm hearing, because we don't get news for Canadian news down here. I'd like to see more.
I think it's just Canadians being, you know, well, the Canadian government being the Canadian government, and you know, they too want to see the cure be worse than disease. I don't know, but it's a good question. We certainly can do some asking about that next time we got Senator Kramer, Senator Hoover, and any others on there. At least get an explanation from them on what it's about, and maybe we can reach out too and find out what the factors are. So happy to do that. What's for lunch today at PetroServe USA? We come to you from the PetroServe USA studios. Well, it looks like, how about this? Swedish meatballs or lasagna at the Valley City location. Two nice options there, exit 292. Breakfast, tater tot, hot dish, 12th Avenue, North Fargo, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, lasagna with garlic toast. Yes! And then in Harwood, they got the chef's choice today, so that's good today as well. So check those all out. A lot of great August specials all month long, like bandanas for $2.99. They have NDSU bison bandanas. I saw one from my own eyes right there, so you might want to check that out as well. Tomorrow, we're going to be live at the Marriott Courtyard in Moorhead to tell you about how Minnesota is getting close to adopting California rules for your automobile. You can't make this up. Where does this kind of crazy come from? Maybe that's why Kamala Harris is there to do that. We'll tell you all about it more at nocacars.com. God bless.
So it looks like the summer of 2020...